Oh, yeah, I've got to hit the live button as well, haven't I?
That'd be helpful, yeah.
Hang on. Just make sure that there's nothing blocking your camera.
Well, that's your cold open. I've got to hit the live button.
Yeah, go hit the button. Hit the button.
I had to laugh. I set the cold open of our next demo of, okay, lads, the plan for this session is we don't die.
That didn't go well, did it?
No, that plan did fail miserably.
Well, it was a great plan.
It was a brilliant plan. Just shit execution.
Avoid death.
Yeah, avoid death and don't die. Just really shit execution. And I just realised...
great plan until it wasn't.
Yeah. I've just realised I've not linked up Restream to the...
Oh, no, Ram, I'm already live. Do the thing.
It's all right, it's all right, it's all right.
Recover, Ram, quick! The plan's going to hell already. We're an hour and a half late?
Right, hopefully... the magic will happen. Sending data. Come on, pick it up. Yes. Yeah, it's a black screen.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's going through to the right thing. Yay, I saved it.
Woo! Live fixes, troubleshooting people. There you go. Ram, employee of the month.
This is the equivalent of, have you seen that video of the guy changing the wheel on the tuk-tuk while it's moving?
Nah, mate.
There's a video of a tuk-tuk, and I think it's, and basically what they do is all the passengers lean to one side, lift up on like two wheels, and then the guy gets out and changes the wheel that's up off the ground, they just lean back over and put it back down again.
They used to do that with ship repairs, didn't they?
What, all go to one side to lean over so they can do
so you can tip it, so you can get like, assuming that the hole is like coming up just around waterline, get everyone to move over to the other side to tilt the boat so you can do temporary repairs.
Yeah, well,
people are nuts is what I'm saying.
Well, to be fair, I would say the case is the example of the ship repairs, if it's a choice of doing that or sinking.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you really nuts? Yeah, are you really nuts? It's like the old...
Does anyone fancy a swim? No? Okay, then go over the other side of the boat.
Yeah, it's like, okay, unfortunately, rail down passengers, you've all been upgraded to ballast.
To all the upper class businessmen and businesswomen, business ladies, whatever.
They go first.
Here's all the people in the cheap seats.
But they go first because being a bit of a problem, they're more well fed. Second, away.
Who is it to have them? No, you guys are too poor. You're too skinny. Stay there.
I was amazed. I went learning about aircraft because also you imagine a big like 747. They obviously have like a little thing that adjusts the trim, which basically adjusts the back. Horizontal stabilizer. I always call it the rudd. It's not. It's a horizontal stabilizer. Just a little like back plane. So basically, makes it less low on the plane to keep it level.
Yeah.
Those planes are so sensitive that if someone walks one end of the plane to the other, it will adjust the trim automatically to counteract them walking. You wouldn't think a plane big that one person would be enough to make it such a big difference. It has to adjust for it. I mean, obviously it will. To the extent that they do, but you wouldn't think they'd be that big that the system could pick up and adjust for it.
You're talking outside, right? Like walking along like the wing or whatever, because that's where you'd be off center, or are we talking like inside the...
Inside the plane.
Wow, really?
Yeah, if someone walks...
I thought that'd have been more balanced because of all the weight is on the air in the wings.
If someone walks from front... Don't forget, you've got it's balanced left to right, balanced front to back as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so what you're saying is if you shift the weight from the front to the back, then it has to adjust the trim too.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. But you wouldn't think that one person would be that make... Physics says, of course, they're going to make a difference, but you think they'd be so minute, it'd be lost in noise. But no, they can tell when someone's walking around the plane by how much when the trim adjusts. And apparently, they can tell when a particularly fat passenger walks down to the back of the plane because it adjusts a lot.
So when you're on an American Airlines flight and the guy's literally going, yeah, adjust the trim, hang on, woof, and he just spins it.
Well, I remember you see videos of the cockpits and they have like, there's looks like two little wheels between that constantly spin back and forth.
That's
the trim. That's the trim going back and forth. And it's constantly adjusting.
See? But that's also one of the joys of modern autopilot, I guess, or flight assists.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having to manually adjust that kind of stuff all the time, though?
Well, yeah, they used to at one point.
They had to once upon a time, but... Jesus.
But yeah, it would be an absolute nightmare. They probably didn't adjust it as much. They probably just sort of like, because all it does is basically it makes
Well, I mean, yeah, because you'd end up compensating, wouldn't you? You would compensate with stick input.
Yeah. So basically what the trim does is if you're having to sort of like pull the plane backside in your stick input, it makes it quite heavy on the stick input.
So you just adjust it with trim so then it levels out and then you don't have to do as much with the...
Yes, it's lighter for you to move. So it's easier for you to move it. So that's the whole purpose of it. So, but yeah, I was just fascinated. It's how something so minor, or in the case of a fat person, so major, can cause a plane to be trim. It's
so,
really
guys,
fascinating.
Lay off the Big Macs.
Yeah. It's really fascinating watching. There's a guy on YouTube. He's a flight trainer by trade. He trains people and does testing and qualifications for pilots. And he's occasionally he'll put videos up of him in the simulator doing stuff, and sort of watching stuff. I think the most fascinating one I watch is emergency terrain recovery maneuver. It's called. Basically, it's oh shit, we're going to crash into the mountain. Let's stop. Let's get out of here.
I was about to say, when you say terrain recovery, that just makes me think of like when you drive through a bush and you have to pull a tree out of a radiator.
Yeah, there is something like this. They have got terms like unplanned landing into terrain, which they're posh for saying you crashed.
Water landing.
Yeah.
Crashing into the ocean.
Yeah. But basically, yeah, there's a video. Basically, the maneuver is just like they accidentally, like in heavy fog, miss a mountain and are going to fly into it. They have to obviously pull up, but you have to pull up, but not so high. If you pull up too far, the plane stalls and you fall out the sky.
Yeah,
So you have to pull up just enough to keep it like on that threshold. And there's a video of him doing it. And even though he's in a simulator, he starts swearing under his breath. You can hear him swear under his breath. It's like getting really close. You can feel the tension as he's trying to do his maneuver and get out of like crashing into a mountain.
I don't want to fuck up. I'll be on his record.
No. I shall link that in the show notes when I get around to writing them.
Can I just start there, right? Because I know I'm a bum. I can be a bit of a dimwit, but I love physics. Physics, like I keep saying to my kids.
Did you say maths, physics is everywhere?
Maths is the thing.
Yeah.
Physics should be respected. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Because physics, just, you know, big boy maths. And they're like, I don't want to do that. It's like, look, you can do it. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Everything needs this shit. You don't realize it, but it is. This is all physics.
Yeah. When I remember, I got back into physics and stuff properly about 15 years ago. So actually, I saw new bits and pieces, but I saw learning about it. Yeah. And when it's that, there's a moment where it all starts to click together. It's when I saw when you start getting down to like learning about sort of how atoms interact, because it's basically physics. And how...
Mate, everything's physics.
Yeah, and how everything basically filters, builds up from that. And how when you describe physics, how you can go down, work down the atom, and it's all... It's just magic how it all works together, and it all makes sense how it all works together. We won't go into quantum physics, because that's just, you know, crazy talk. But, I mean, it's real, but it's crazy talk.
When they start saying, like, do you understand? Yeah, I understand. I understand all these formulas, and that's... No. Do you really understand? And it's like... I have faith.
Yeah. I there is something that joins the two together. But I just find it so fascinating. I just wish I had a better brain for math so I could really understand it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at maths, but I tend to lose it when it gets to formulas because I'm dyslexic, actually. I just jumble, they all jumble about.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, I'm fine if I'm writing a formula into a computer code, I'm fine with that, or into Excel, I can do it. But when I see, like, algebra, equation of the paper, it's like my brain just switches off.
So that's why I prefer really struggle. On paper. I've never liked writing that kind of stuff into a computer, because I'll tell you why. Fucking AIM.
AIM.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, AIM was shit. AIM was shit.
Fucking despise that system. So I've now got a fear of any kind of equation going into a computer.
For those
through that system. For,
obviously, AIM's a pretty niche reference to a large. So for those who don't know what AIM is, AIM, when we were at university, we had to do maths tests. And the maths tests had to be done on computer. And to submit these, you did it through a program called AIM. Where AIM was a problem was that you had to format your answer back. So if it was something like rearranging an algebra equation, you had to type in with all the brackets or the like correct notation into the thing, and you'd submit it. If you were right, you got your points. If you made one mistake that was simply a typo, that was it, you lost it. And because you had to type in like in a single line, so yep. It's not like it's on a bit of paper. You draw out, say you're doing like a, you know, one of the other, you draw out on several pages, you don't type it in a single line. There was one point where you do truth tables and work them down. And on paper, you draw out as a table. In AIM, you had to write as a single line, which meant lots of curly braces. You miss one curly brace, you lost marks.
Yep.
It was an atrocious system because there was no... They had no functionality to like proof, like to like. All it needed was a function to say proof this. It could go.
There was no debugger.
All it needed was something to go like, this doesn't look like it's formatted correctly. Are you sure? That's all it needed to do. So You could say, yes, I think I'm sure. But if you say it's not, but it, you know, just throw it all.
Well, because if I compile code and I've done it wrong, it goes, you've cocked this up here, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, error or, on whatever line. This is one line, and you had to do the whole fucking thing. Well, don't get me wrong. I get why it had to be as it like how it was supposed to be, but my God, I hated that system.
But
so
I would say
much.
Excel, like even 20-year-old Excel. If you type, or 25-year-old Excel, actually, if you type a formula in that you make a mistake on it, it will actually flag it and say, "Hey, I think you've made a mistake here. Do you want to check it?" Or you suggested a solution.
You know why? It's because the guy that worked on Excel had to go through AIM first. And he was like, nah, mate, fuck this.
Yeah, I had to suffer. Anybody else can fucking suffer as well.
That's it. Like, oh, that was such a horrible system. And I just...
I got frustrated because I lost marks. I got the answer right because I hadn't formatted it quite right. I lost marks, yeah. And that really fucked
me
off.
You could put in... You could put in characters that weren't specific to the formula as well. So if, like, you fat-thumbed it or whatever, or fat-fingered it, and you're like, what the fuck have I done wrong? And then you'd go back, and you're like, oh, my God, really? And again, as you say, you get it wrong, you lose marks, and you just want to fucking snap the table in half.
Yeah. So it was something like you could actually put a, like, I remember the one I had was I needed 9 closing curly braces, and I put 8 in by accident. But when you've got that many curly braces next to each other, they all look the fucking same. You can't. Counting is a nightmare. That put me off, actually, the whole maths module, because it's like, I just can't cope with this.
I'm not going to lie. It was that and the arrogance of the lecturer, as well as the way a few of the other systems in that university worked, completely. I was so disenfranchised with the system at that point. I was just like, you know what? I can't be bothered.
No lecturers, there are very few lecturers who felt approachable.
Yeah. Well, some of them, you couldn't even fucking find them. Again, at this university, they're doing their own thing, right? But when even your advisor or whatever, because, you know, we were assigned a lecturer to speak to, they'd have like 10 lecturers and it's like, oh, yeah, well, they're in their office at XYZ time. Trying to fucking find those assholes.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
And that's my point is, yes, the university is a thing. However, those are paid by university to teach people.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you told me you were asked to vacate the lab because they were showing around new students, potential students.
They were kids from a secondary school.
They want what?
They want
I
students.
Thought they were bringing around people who were going to join the university.
They were kids who were going to come play with the robots. The robots that I was programmed for my computer course.
Wow, that's even worse.
I was fuming.
Wow. Yeah, when you said that to me, I think I was already out the door by that point? I was, right?
Yeah, you got me at that point.
Yeah. My fucking...
And I was enjoying that class. That's the only one. I was really enjoying that class.
Well, because they were letting you rewrite chips and all that as well, weren't they, at that point? Fucking... No, I was furious. I could not believe it. I thought you were taking the piss. Well, now I think it's even worse.
Yeah.
Now that I've found that bit out. From what I understand, loads of people left that course. They just couldn't take it. I was like, why are we paying so much? I'm effectively paying thousands of pounds for a reading list.
Yeah.
Because I'm not actually getting any, like, no interaction with any of these lecturers. So, well, that's what university is. Great, but...
And then when
you say, like, oh, yeah, well, I've got a... Or, like, because we couldn't get anywhere to live near campus, and we lived out of town. So, old Freeman, he didn't leave. Like, some of his last lectures didn't finish until, like, late in the evening. And we had to be on a... We were on a train. We were on Alton Broad North and Lowestoft train station by fucking, like, half five in the morning.
Yeah, the first week we were there, I was getting up about 4:30 every day.
Yeah.
And I was picking up people, taking to the train station, we were meeting you guys there, we were getting in to get the train, to get there, to be there for like 9:30, 8:00 or something. And we were finishing like 8:30 at night, and I was getting home like 8:30, 9:00 every night, and then straight to bed to get up at 4 a.m. again the next day to do it. That was like the first week. It did ease off a little bit after that. But the trouble was, there were days like I had one lecture for an hour.
Yeah, and that was infuriating, wasn't it?
It's a two-hour journey there. It was a two-hour journey there and back. I actually think, if we had stayed on site, we'd all done a lot better.
Oh God, yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
That we were told, don't bother staying on site as advised, and that was the worst advice I think we could have been given.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that we were all in the same, we all travelled together.
Yeah.
So, like, sorry, this is a rand nerd's tangent on the education system. We all travelled together, right? And we specifically asked a couple of the lecturers, if we have group assignments, put us in the same group.
Yeah.
Because at least then if we can't get on campus, we can still work together and work on an assignment.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We'll do that. That's fine.
And they ended up splitting us all up. And it's like, but now we all have to come in on completely different days.
Yeah.
Completely different times. As I say, like in some cases, like on a Tuesday evening, Freeman weren't leaving the campus until near 11 o'clock.
Again, if we had all lived on site, it wouldn't have mattered that we're doing different lectures different times.
Yeah, exactly, because we could have just gone and stumbled back to the dorm and crashed out.
Yeah, yeah. I remember at the start of the first lecture we had, we were in the lecture hall, and there were like people in all the seats, there were people sitting on the stairs, and the guy said, we're not going to have people sitting on the stairs, but don't worry. By the end of the year, as in like the actual year, not the academic year, that won't be a problem anymore. A lot of people dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the implication at the time was they're proud that loads of people are going to drop out. And I actually think when loads of people drop out of a course, that's a reflection more on the educational ability of the people at the course. Because what you're saying is all these people have supposedly passed the grade to be good enough to come to this course, but most of them are going to crash out. I would argue either your induction, like quite clear, aren't right, or your course is badly designed or badly taught.
Yep.
And I think a lecturer should be saddened, because you're going to get dropouts, of course you are, but it should be saddened if the majority of people come to their colleges drop out. They failed.
So I heard they lost a good 2/3.
Oh, I can play that. Two-thirds sounds low to me. If you told me 80%, I would have believed it.
Wow. See, I worked for a company years later, and I actually got to interview a bunch of students. And near enough, every time someone said to me, yeah, my course was like shitty. It was kind of shit. I said, by any chance, because like they'd kind of explained their schedule and all that kind of thing. And I said, by any chance, were you a comp sci student? And they went, yeah. And I was like, me too. Me too. So that's terrible everywhere.
Yeah.
But you could almost tell by how miserable some of these students were going through what courses they were doing.
Yeah. Yes.
It was just how little some of these lecturers actually gave a toss.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but comp sci just seemed to be on the back burner at the time. But then Evan Upton, years later, the guy behind the Raspberry Pi Foundation, basically said that Cambridge admissions, they were coming in, but they had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
Like these kids had no idea what they were doing. And when they actually looked what was going on leading up to university, they said, yeah, most of these kids had never even written a lick of code in their life.
Yeah.
Because they'd replaced CompSci with ICT.
Yeah. I think the other trouble was that the trouble was that there were a lot of, even we're at it, computer science in most colleges wasn't really up to snuff in the sense that they didn't have the resources to do it, really.
Well, let's put it this way. When I was in high school in sixth, CompSci wasn't a thing. You could do a form of computing module, but I had a maths teacher, a history teacher, and I think two PE teachers teaching that. And they were just there sitting in to make sure no one was nicking the computers.
Yeah.
But they didn't know what they were doing. Couldn't code the way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
You know, if you asked them to install Windows, they'd have no idea.
Yeah. When I was at the college I went to, had a statistics course in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the lecturers in it, who knew statistics, were really good at statistics. However, they didn't really know their way around a computer. They didn't know their way around Excel, which is a bit of a problem if you're doing statistics. And I was finding myself, they had to teach us Excel. And I obviously flew for it because I knew Excel at the back of my hand. But I also know that half of their teaching was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff they were saying, oh, if you do this, this is not possible in Excel. It's like, oh, it is possible in Excel if you know the right formula.
Yeah, sure.
It's a
spreadsheet, it's maths.
But it was almost like they felt that it was not possible to, like, if you want to do anything in Excel other than add numbers together, it was like impossible. It's like, no, Excel's got an awful lot of functionality. And one guy who was like sort of like the main guy who's like sort of doing the Excel team, he came around, he saw a spreadsheet I'd set up to do some audio, to do some statistic checking. He goes, that looks very complicated. Says, no, I'll just type in these like half these numbers and it just works all out for me. He goes, you can do that on Excel? Yeah. I said, would you like a copy of the spreadsheet? He goes, yeah. So not only does it contain a spreadsheet, another lecturer, we had to score people on like another score. So we had to score people on an Excel spread, and we had to score people like out of 10 areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically had to create averages. So very simple. It's literally marks out of 10.
This is like ICT day one.
Basic stuff. It's literally creates an average. And if someone does it, and there's like different parts, people could do like different parts of the group work, and you could score someone out of 10. If you didn't have any good, you score them 0. But if they didn't actually weren't part of that section of the course, you just left it blank. You didn't score them at all. And that didn't add to the average.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say someone who's like, if someone's no good at doing presenting, you could say, okay, don't worry about presenting. You do the research. We won't mark your presenting. So you had to make sure you average it. So I wrote a spreadsheet that basically, as long as you filled it in correctly, would actually work out an average properly and would knock these people out and so forth. It's really simple. It's literally just adding and dividing. It's very simple. She was thrilled with it. I sent it to her with the instructions of how to use it, and she was absolutely thrilled with it because it looked nice. I formatted it all nicely, made it look really presentable. I found out they're still using it.
Wow.
The spreadsheet I made is still being used because when she left, she handed all her files over, and the next person took on found thought, well, that's a good spreadsheet. Read the instruction. Apparently, last time I checked, they're still using that spreadsheet in those classes. And that was 10 years ago.
You're a top secretary, Ram.
I never got credit for that.
Good job, man.
I should have signed it on the bottom, created by her. It's like, oh. So,
university's fine. Just make sure you get a good one, and just be willing to put up with a lot of shit. But that system completely destroyed a lot of stuff for me. My brief time in university, the few years we all spent fucking about, God, really got on my tits in the end. And if it weren't for you and a couple of the other guys, I probably wouldn't have stuck out half as long as I did. But my gods, like I can handle all the formulas and that on paper. But here's the other thing as well: I really struggle now keeping track of numbers in my head. So I have to write things down as I go.
I must admit, I prefer, I think I find it easier to type things up when it comes to formulas and stuff. Because I think I'm good at Excel, I can do stuff into Excel fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
And get it set up and say, I can get spreadsheets to do quite complicated things, which then means I can translate them very quickly into code, because it's basically the same thing. But I struggle on paper. Formulas just go, it's like they just turn to squiggles for me.
I get you.
And I think the trouble was, I think I've actually got fairly good maths knowledge. However, I've got lots of blank areas, and those areas, unfortunately, are important building blocks. And yeah, I've missed them, which means that it's almost like you've got a car. Some parts are designed really well, but other bits bing at you all the time. And unfortunately, I've got the bingy bits, which maths is something that I would like to be good at.
Yeah.
And I find maths interesting. I almost want to sit down and actually have the patience. I really want to sit down and actually almost teach myself from scratch again how to do it. It's basically algebra that fucks me over. Algebra and calculus, I sort of know the general calculus, I get the general principle, but I think I need to understand algebra and do calculus, and I really need to just learn. I think if I actually put the effort into learn algebra properly, I'd be all right.
Learning things properly, that's important.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just going to learn this bit, and then all of a sudden things get a little bit more complicated, and you're like, oh, no.
The trouble was, is that with maths, and the way the UK teaches maths is, it assumes everybody has to move on at a certain rate.
Yep.
And if people
get... It's very easy to get left behind.
It is very easy to get left behind. And there's no... And the trouble with maths is, there's no easy way to catch up unless you put a lot of it in your spare time. Reading and writing and learning, actually, you can pick that up over time, just naturally. Even if you don't like... Even if you get left, air quotes, left behind... You can pick up, and you also can get competent. So, for example, I'm a shit speller, but I feel I've got fair. I would like to think I'm fairly good vocabulary. Fairly elegant.
He's left the cider zone.
I've left cider zone. But my best mate, you are. In a blood.
I love you, Ren.
But maths, if you miss a fundamental, you're sort of screwed, because you won't understand anything that comes after it.
And then when you get to the next tutor, they assume that you've already got all these fundamentals in place.
Yeah.
See, I had that going through school as well, because obviously I had bad health going through school. So it only take like a couple of weeks of me being in hospital or whatever, and then all of a sudden I am miles behind.
Yeah.
And then you feel, again, you get so disenfranchised by it, because there's no real way for you to catch up.
Yeah.
Shy of taking a load of time out of your time, which admittedly you should want to do, but... If you don't know what you're doing to start with, you then look, well, I'm teaching myself. Why am I going there?
Yeah. I did end up doing work college. I actually doing GCSE maths. I actually doing it, which helped, but they didn't really touch a lot on algebra, which is my weak spot.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty good at other stuff. So I'm pretty good at sort of principles, but I also struggle with algebra and things like, well, what do all the symbols actually mean? Okay, you've got that one there. That means something special, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah.
It also helped that comp sci maths is very different to nearly every other type of maths out there. I had, when I was doing maths at university, and I was struggling with it, my mother actually very kindly got a maths tutor in to help me. He was an engineer.
Sure.
He used to be an engineer, but he went to maths tutoring. And we went through some stuff I was doing, and after about 3 weeks, he had to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. This is so different to what I know how to do.
Yeah, sure.
Being taught, he looked through the maths textbook we had. I've still got. He looked through it, and he's like, this is like so different to what...
It's like a foreign language.
Yeah, it was. He said, I said, I'm going to see if I can find... He actually tried to find someone else who could teach me it, but they all were like ex-engineers. So he said, the maths we taught, I said, I can't... I'm not going to charge you for this session because I just can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
I say, so I'm awfully sorry. This was not a Superman. He was an engineer. He was an engineer who he was in his 50s, who retired from engineering and wanted to do something, to be less stressful, and decided to go to maths lecturing.
Just as a note, everything that he did was still standing.
Yes.
And he wanted to do something less stressful, so he thought he'd teach.
But he's private tutor. So we're private tutors. I think private tutors is not so bad because, you know, your students probably want to be taught, and you can always say,
yeah, they
want to
learn.
And
yeah.
You can always say, fuck it, I'm not teaching you.
Yeah.
So I would say that's probably a fairly good gig. So he went into that, and when he couldn't do it, I realised, okay, this is really complicated. And it's just the comp sci maths is a different beast.
Mm.
And they were the two things I think killed comp sci for me, was maths and the hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I had a better understanding of maths and if I'd lived on site, I'm convinced I would have finished that course.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Scheduling and systems really fucked it for me.
Yeah.
I was willing to learn, but again, when you're sat there and you're like, I'm paying all this money and you're literally doing nothing for it. And especially when we were having to jump through hoops to get anything done. I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. And then I just left it on just leave it on a shelf.
Yeah.
And now it's so dusty. I don't know if I could go back to it without getting some kind of disease.
the final nail in the coffin for me for comp sci was we had to write code that would emulate how a CPU worked, and taking a text file that was in assembly code commands in a text file, not binary but actual assembly commands.
Yeah, sure.
And it'd parse it, process it, and then it would work on those, and basically work like a CPU does, and in software form, so you could run code for it. And I spent ages writing this code, and I got it working, got it right. I was teamed up with somebody who, he lived in Norwich on site, so it was all right for him. He could pop in. I couldn't, so we had to find times to meet up.
Yeah.
And bless him, he did work around me. And we put it in. I did the coding. He did all the other sort of stuff. We got it working. And finished off. He was happy with it. I was happy with it. We went and handed it in, put it into the little pigeonholes. And then about a week goes by, and we put it in with a couple of days early. We actually put it a couple of days early.
Mm-hmm.
Week goes by, he rings me and says, have you had a letter from the new area? He says, no. He said, you better go, when you go check your people, you'll have a letter. Get there. And apparently, we'd put ours into the wrong pigeonhole. The pigeonholes that we were meant to was next door to when we put it into. We'd just gone down there. We both put it into the wrong one.
Oh, no.
And because of that, we were told, notice this, you effectively hand it in late, which means your cap is capped at a pass. So we got our grade capped at a pass. And
just as a note to people, university is very cutthroat like that.
Yes, they don't fuck about.
But then they're also not particularly, you know, honest mistake there.
It was, because we both did it. We both put it into the wrong one.
Well, I had seen as well at the university we went to that some of those kind of the pigeonholes, the drawers, were allocated time slots. So if you say if you were finished a day early, you'd go ahead and go, oh, hang on a minute, this isn't marked up for the right course right now.
Yeah,
and you'd have to wait.
Yeah, well, I would not put it in about reading the label.
Yeah, sure, of course.
I'm still convinced that it was mislabeled, but then because we both did it wrong.
Yeah, of course.
But then we both went put in at the same time. So one we could simply fold the other. But I don't know. Yeah. That was sort of the final nail in the coffin for me. Because it was technically my fault. Because I put in the wrong slot. It was my fault. But it was like there was a straw that broke the camel's back.
Of
course. That was it. That was like, fuck it. Fuck it. Mm. I'm not doing it anymore. And that was really the last. And that was nearly at the end of the course of the first year. That was, I think we had that in like May, late May. Mm-hmm. So that course ended like in July. So that was like nearly there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a
try. Wasn't a fun time.
No, it wasn't a fun time.
Wasn't fun at all.
So what did I do a year later? Completely changed degrees. Went, stayed on site. And
good plan.
Had no problems. Had no problems at all. Got all the work done. Got a good grade. Because I did, I took my own advice and it was just so much easier being on site at the time because you could just go, oh, I could spend the whole day in the library. It doesn't matter because I literally a 5-minute drive from where I sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can actually have a full night's bed. You know, you get to bed and actually have a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, don't worry. I did do some all-nighters there. I remember being up to 4 a.m. writing an essay.
Sure.
And having to get up for an exam at like 8 o'clock.
But, it's a good time, man. Student life.
It's okay. The reason I didn't mind was as a statistics exam using Excel, we had to write a spreadsheet.
They were using your spreadsheet.
Mate, no, I tell you what, this is not an exaggeration, right? We had an hour and a half to do the test. And once we were done, we had to like sort of like, you had to like fold your paper up, put it on the end of your desk, put your, like, and just sort of like say, I'm done, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere to lie, I was done in 15 minutes.
Good job, man.
It's an Excel spreadsheet. I didn't even have to look because it said, okay, I want you to get your exposure to do this, 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 and this. Like, I just sort of literally read through the first page, like, because I knew Excel really well.
Mm-hmm.
I tapped it all up, got it all done, submitted. I think I wrote the whole thing in 10 minutes, spent 5 minutes just testing it, making sure it worked, and then emailed it over to the store lecturer who sat at the other end of the room, emailed it over, put it in, sort of looked up and like, you can't be done. Like, yeah.
It's pretty, yeah, it's done.
So it's done. So, and they, I think they thought I was taking the piss.
And you're like, just because you guys can't do it.
Yeah, it's like done. And so it's like, well, if you think you're done, you can go. It's like, all right then. So I left. So
there you go. Yeah. And then you went to bed.
No. I went down to the library. The next person came out an hour later.
You just sat there watching, weren't you? Going, yeah. Yeah.
And I got the highest mark on the course. I'm like, you're no, on, job, on that mate. Test. It's like, this is what happens. This is it. You have the comp sci student come.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what happens when the comp sci student changes degrees.
Yeah. And gets the one course that involves computers, and they're sorted.
It's like, nailed it, gov.
Yeah.
I mean, the introduction to that part of the course, like, oh, yeah, and this is a computer. And Ram's like, I'm already sat there, I've already rigged it all up, I've got it going.
Yeah.
my RGB hooked up.
Yeah. I wrote for our second year, I had to do a statistical analysis study and we had to keep track lots of data. I wrote some software for it.
Mate.
I wrote some software Visual Basic and I was like, I said, I want you to look through it and see if you have captured all the data I need to. I said, yeah, bring what you show. So I opened this up and I just launched this program. It just pops up on the screen. He goes, huh? What? I said, yeah, I just wrote this bit of software. Sorry, just took me
a bit of WYSIWYG code there.
It appeared in the back because Visual Basic was running off the out the source file rather than actually rather than it's executable by itself.
Yeah,
so I have the code up as well. And he sat there and he's just, it's not often in life that I get to see someone look at me like I'm a god. It's not often. That hasn't happened often in my life. But that was one of the times where he was looking at this code and just couldn't believe it. The only other time I got a lecturer to act like I was like the most amazing person in the world was the time I told that he was trying to find some information from DEFRA on their search engine, use Google. And I said to him, you know, if you just type site :// w.defra.org,
yeah,
it'll just search DEFRA's website. He goes, does it? He types, he says, this is going to save me so much time. We're sat at the
surprise
office. And, yeah. And also the office saying, how do you do that?
It's like, syntax, motherfucker.
It's like, smug mode engaged.
Them's the days.
Yeah.
I miss a lot of that stuff because I still love computers, but just to know that I've gone from being able to comfortably write code and all that to basically being a complete nugget, and now I can barely hold, like, my because I was going through some health issues way back then. Had I have known how quickly things would degrade, because now I struggle to even hold a screwdriver, so it's quite, Ah, them were the days.
Yeah.
I hate the aim, but my God.
I'm quite pleased that they are teaching Comp Simon's courses. My friend's daughter, she actually has Comp Sci as an actual part of her school day now.
So do my boys. Although, funny enough, actually, so one of my boys is listed as doing Comp Sci, but when he brought back one of his assignments, I was like, nah, mate, that's still standard ICT.
Well, I asked her, what have you been learning? And she says, oh, we've been learning about variables and constants, all that sort of stuff. I said, really? I was explaining the same thing. They're actually teaching this and sort of got talking to her. And she's like, I was a bit confused by this. So I was in my head because I could reel it all off.
Dead relative, Gov.
Yeah. they're not there. She's at the stage. They're not using a proper... that's not fair. They're using a visual language.
My brain's gone.
It's like a pun on algorithm. It's called the software they're using. But the way she described it is it's clearly visual. It's a visual program, a bit like Scratch.
Sure.
What's she call it? Algologic or something. It's a play on algorithm.
Sure, because my boys have done a bunch of stuff like that. But it's like sometimes they're blending a lot of things under Comp Sci now.
Yeah.
But as you say, I am glad they brought it back. Yeah. Because
and
for the longest time,
they're actually teaching programming, which is nice, even if it's visual stuff.
No, because for the longest time it went away. Computing in the UK, given our history in computing, you know, we went from being absolutely fantastic in computing Comp Sci and all that. Our education's in Comp Sci was fantastic. Look, my primary schools had Comp Labs.
We fucking invented the computer.
Right,
Charles Babbage.
But somewhere we decided computers were as good as they could get. And we'll just teach people how to do spreadsheets and type up Word documents. And that'll be all we teach for computers.
The trouble is, the people who make these decisions tend to be... The people who get into positions to make these sort of decisions, who get into positions of power, tend to be old fuddy-duddies. Or they tend to be older, so they base what they think or based on what they grew up with. And it's like, well, why did you need computers when I was a youngster? So why do you teach it now? They don't look to the future very much. Or because they don't understand it. I mean, isn't it famous that I think like an example we have it happens now. Like, isn't the chap in charge of cybersecurity in Japan doesn't actually own a computer, doesn't know how to use one?
That would be terrifying.
I'm pretty sure that is true. I'm pretty sure it is true. I'm actually going to Google it now, but I'm pretty sure Japan cybersecurity. Oh, there you go. Japan cybersecurity minister admits he's never used a computer.
Oh,
He doesn't even know what he did. He didn't know. He didn't know. And when asked about his professional life, do you know what a USB drive was?
Well, that's probably a good thing because at least now we know he's not getting hacked. None of his accounts are getting hacked. Oh wait, he doesn't have any.
Yeah, and that is a cyber. But someone put him in that position, and the trouble is, he's made decisions on policy rallied around cybersecurity. Well, maybe there's a problem there.
Our survey says no,
and that's why you know things like science stuff gets knocked out as people in charge don't understand. Yeah, they don't understand the concept of it.
So, what was it? There was a bunch of stuff televised in the United States when a lot of people were getting hacked. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it might have been that time when kind of Anonymous and LulzSec were fucking with everyone.
Yeah.
Like during the Occupy. I think it was around the same time as Occupy Wall Street, weren't it, and all that. It might have been this time. But then you had this thing where it's like all these videos coming out from like the US government and that they're all stood there and you could tell that like some of these guys were like old jocks. It's like, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm not a nerd, so I don't understand what any of this means. Or like then it cuts to like this next person. Well, let's get the nerds in here to explain what half of this stuff means or how any of this stuff works. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're the one making decisions and you've got no clue, son.
Yeah.
And I was like, sometimes I'm sat there looking at it, and I was like, this is really basic shit. How did you get and keep your job?
Because people are put in governments, people are put in charge of positions, not because of what they know, it's because of who they know.
I was going to say, how big is your fucking neck to be stood there talking shit like that?
They're just a bunch of old mates. That's it. Just a bunch of mates. My little friend Henry. He wants you as an abacus. I'm sure he'll be in charge of the Ministry of Computing. I'm sure he'll be fine at that. And my old friend Jeffrey. He's got a vegetable patch. I'll put him as Minister of Agriculture. That'll be fine. He'll be sure. That'll make perfect sense.
You just scale it up.
Yeah. I hope you can't tell which PM I was impersonating there. I'm sure it was a generic one.
We will say nothing on it.
Yeah.
play
table tennis and be a whiff waff. Yes,
it infuriates me.
Yeah,
at times, but you know, you're right. The nerds should be running shit, but they're too busy pulling in the billions and then getting done for running monopolies or having a monopoly.
Yeah, true. Computing, but. At least it's nice that they are. So if they go on teaching, then that's only a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the trouble.
I just want to throw out there. I hate modern computing. The technology is amazing, but I don't like the way everything's so locked down, and I hate web whatever version we're on now.
I don't know if everything's pushing towards cloud-based computing. That there's no, you don't have your own software on your computer anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick and tired of subscriptions, and I'm sick and tired of catering everything to fucking normies. As soon as the normies got onto the internet, you ruined it. Everything's got to be really pretty, and it's got to do this, and it's got to do that, and it's got to be flashy. It looks shit. It runs like shit. We now need supercomputers and shite tons of bandwidth just to open up a fucking web page. Piss off!
Yeah. Perhaps that should be a thing. Now, when you install web browsers, it should say, do you know how to use computers? Yes. Are you interested in getting useful information off a website? Or do you want to look at it and go, oh, pretty? Yes or no? I want useful information. Okay, then. You'll get the special version of the website downloaded to you. The pretty one will distract everybody else with pretty colours.
If you say, oh, pretty, it just locks you out of the computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get off the internet!
I've complained about this so many times before. I hate websites where you have to scroll constantly to get information. Apple started this trend.
Yep.
You know, big page, the new
minimalist page that like to load up and then scroll down and animations will play and all this kind of shit. And you're like,
the new
take that stuff and put it in the bin. Just give me a nice fucking chunk of text with all the information I want and take the rest of it and put it in the bin.
I think it was Oculus. I think it was them who went to that style site. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I might be misremembering them. I think it was them who had the text specs for their device as part of the image.
Ugh.
So you couldn't actually like...
You couldn't even search for it.
You couldn't copy and paste it if you wanted to. It's actually part of the image.
Ugh.
It's like, just design a site for, like, whenever
a couple of my mates are web developers and I scream at them regularly.
Yeah. Just, when you step back from a site, just say to yourself, the most important question you ask is it usable? Okay. The most successful sites, generally, unless you're Apple, are the sites that are usable. Look at Amazon. Amazon is, by modern standards, fucking... If you use how modern website design goes, Amazon is shite.
Agreed.
But that's why it's good. Because everything's in a menu. There's menus everywhere. You can click on and find information. It's generally very easy to navigate because they've made it usable first. Well, in general. Compared to...
Trying to find that pay in five page ain't... That's not easy.
I remember Lycos, which is no longer a search engine. They went to mobile devices at one point. I remember on their page, there was like a little... Their little navigation thing was like a series of like six dots that you clicked on, and it like brought the next page up and so forth to move things around. But the dots reordered themselves every single time.
Excellent format.
Exactly. So like your home page might be like at 12 o'clock on one page, but might be at 6 o'clock on another page. And what it was doing was like... almost rotating a wheel basically, as you went out each page, it sort of rotated it round, as it were, if you see what I mean.
Right,
so, like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So like, the page you're on was always at the top, and then the L there is rotated round. Why? It looks okay, it looks pretty, but it's fucking a pain in the ass to use.
But that's because we didn't have standards back then. You know, like, we were still, that was still kind of like the Wild West of the internet.
Oh no, this is fairly, this is the more modern Lycos site. This is about from a few years ago.
Oh wow, I didn't realise there was still actually even a...
Lycos was still a thing a few years ago. They were selling smartwatches.
That's quite a leap.
Yeah, let's see.
We're still computing to a degree. Not much of, but...
I think it was smartwatches they were selling.
Some rebranded tat from China. Oh my god.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah.
Lycos launches wearables. Yeah, it was a little fitness tracker. Launched.
That's got to be some generic fluff they've got from.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was.
Terrible, absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
I will say the Japanese and basically anyone from East Asia, their websites are still kind of like how our stuff was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, like text everywhere, hyperlinks everywhere, really, you know, densely packed.
Yeah.
Their stuff's amazing. It's beautiful. And they pull information off those things in just huge amounts of information in no time flat. When we see big chunks of information, it's almost like our brain switch off because of the way we've been reprogrammed to handle information on the modern web.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, do you ever see that? Like, you know, you see it, all of a sudden you see a massive wall of text and you're like, oh, fucking hell. Whereas that could very well contain the bit that you want.
I do... I want to find the relevant information fast. I mean, I do find it annoying how, I know it's done for like search, that a site that you want to find information out of insists on having like three or four paragraphs explaining like why the author of that various page was going taking a walk for the dog that made him thought about such and such, and then decided to write the information he actually wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recipe sites are good for this. If you have to look up a recipe site, most of them give you like a two paragraph background of the author's cat before they actually tell you the recipe.
I will avoid that completely and I will just stick to burnt toast. Thank you.
See, there's actually a website now been launched called justtherecipe.com, I think. And it basically trolls his site.
So when, yeah, but when your recipe site starts cutting the fat.
Yeah, but what it does is it basically as it's all saying is we're a recipe site, but we don't give you a load of fucking fluff around it.
Do you want to learn how to make XYZ? Here's the ingredients list. Here's how you prep it. Job done.
Actually, basically, good food's pretty good for recipes. They usually give you recipes. They usually give you a little brief introduction. Like a little bit of history of the recipe, which is a bit dubious, but it's okay. But they get very quickly into the actual recipe itself, and they all have proper printable formats that when you print them up, print out just the ingredients and the recipe details. So BBC Good Food, I can recommend them for the recipes.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just can't stand modern computing. I can't. That and everything being soldered to the board? Come on. But then it's not profitable to make things repairable. So,
No.
Don't get me wrong though. Amazing technology. Mm. Amazing technology. Just to see waste.
Mm. I mean, I think computing is going to go for a hedge phase in the next few years with things like you thought basic shit clickbait news sites were bad now. Now ChatGPT exists, they're going to get a whole lot worse. Because people can literally type in, write me an article, hear the facts, and it'll just spurt something out that's going to end up on a web page somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're just going to... I mean,
well, you're already starting to see it, aren't you? They're at like loads of places are advertising that they have AI assistants to aid in the writing process.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, you've written this thing? Well, don't worry. Pass it through here and we'll spit out something that's more clear and concise and all that. Or, hey, what are your bullet points? Give us the bullet points. We'll you know, create a presentation for us. What the fuck are you lot doing?
I can't complain too much about that, because I may have, when I was trying to write a decent covering letter for a job, I was like, I can't word this properly. So I literally typed.
But see, this is what I mean. This is terrible.
But I went to ChatGPT, I literally put in the key facts and it wrote me something that's far better than I could ever write.
But this is what I'm saying. This is terrible. So we're complaining that this is what the internet's going to be full of whilst doing it ourselves.
Yeah. It's more that it's going to create an ability to have 1,000. I mean, the amount of news sites you go on now that literally just basically advertising sites. You know,
that's pretty much every single one of them, even the big ones.
Yeah, but there are some which are a lot worse than others. There's some, literally every paragraph has an advert in between. I mean, I try to.
I'm not going to lie, mate. If as someone who is tied to their computer majority of the time, I avoid social media as much as possible.
Agreed.
And I try to avoid the news as much as possible, because it's mostly clickbait bollocks these days. And 2/3 of it, you'd swear, was written by the kid in the mailroom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why is this news?
Why do I
give a shit about what... Oh, look, this person has come out as a toaster and they're now investing 33p in the local football team. And then something actually newsworthy happens, but it's buried under all that other kind of fluff.
I don't tend to use news websites. I use a couple of news apps. Because they tend to be a little bit more, I find they're more filtered.
Sure.
And they tend to not be full of, they tend not be full of ad, they're not full of adverts.
Used to have everything set in, so I had a couple, because you know I used to love RSS back in the day. And I would save specific feeds, and then I would pull all of my news from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I would have a heavily filtered.
I used to do that as well back in the day.
But then it gets to be a bit of a ball ache to maintain it. And in the end, I was just, you know what, I can't. Like, there's nothing particularly interesting. I'm not going to die if I don't know about this stuff.
I used to use RSS feeds, but when I saw, like, smartphones came about with apps and stuff, I sort of killed
them
off.
They started charging for them.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of websites are, well, you either pay for a subscription to our website, you know, fucking for £3 a month, you can be a member of XYZ news site. And you don't get access to any of the feeds unless you pay the subscription either. It's just like, or like the fees are like subscription plus whatever. It's like, fuck off.
Well, I guess it's Clash 22 for a news site, because they have to pay their people, their authors and stuff somehow.
And well, of course. So I get it.
It's Clash 22. So I much prefer like the likes of, say, although I'm not a great fan of, I'm not a super fan of their, a lot of the articles where they're written. The Guardian actually comes and says, look, we don't want to have adverts, we need to pay people. So we're going to limit to what you can see unless you pay, because we've got to pay to be able to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So whereas a lot of other sites, basically, you just literally every... I mean, I had to look something up on the EDP, which is our local newspaper website, and it's literally like two paragraphs advert, two paragraphs advert, two paragraphs advert.
That's normal now.
It's basically... Yeah, that's what they're all gone like. That's basically
autoplay embeds and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, it's virtually unreadable. You know,
Do you actually pay for any news sites or what?
No, I sort of technically do, because I use the BBC app, which obviously I pay a license fee. So I technically do, but I find that I find BBC is pretty. It's pretty good, not sending me too much nonsense. Occasionally, something slips through that I don't care about, and it's breaking news. But generally, it's, you know, important stuff.
Breaking news, the McRib is back.
No, they're pretty good. So obviously at the moment, a lot of it's dominated by a certain war that's going on. When they're looking for that sub, that was getting dominated quite. There's a lot of information coming out about that every so often and so forth.
Physics.
Yeah. Yeah, physics underwater. Physics is a harsh mistress and doesn't care about you. And... they do that. And then occasionally, though, you'll get something random come through, like a football team's made the Premier League. It's like, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you can sort of like tell it what you're interested in, but some stuff slips through the filters, as it were. So,
because they filter based on keyword.
Yeah. Well, so in their main app, you can basically say I want stuff based, and you could pick, there's another huge explore of things you could pick from. So like, I've got the Ukraine war on there at the moment, because I'm interested in that. I've got like science, technology, stuff. But I think when someone then plugs through the breaking news, they tag it as one of those categories that comes through if it's like vaguely related. So, but I tend to use that. I did have the Skype at one point, but the Skype annoyed me. So I tend to just use BBC News now.
I just burn it all off, mate. I burn it all off. As soon as... when my web browsers started aggregating news, and I was like, there's an article. Oh, that seems interesting. Click that. Cool. It starts kind of, you know, figuring out what it is that I want to read.
Yeah.
Click the next thing. Tries to figure me out more. Now, all I get is I get a wall of human rights violations and like other. I'm like, no, just turn it off, go away. Yeah. Don't want to see any of this.
Yeah,
like, and it's never actually anything serious.
Yeah,
some guy cut me off on my way to get my donuts. He's a sexist, racist twat.
Yeah, I've been experiencing a slightly altered version for this, because I've been job hunting, and I've been looking for some jobs out, because I've been going to the various major companies, looking on their sites, looking for recruitment and so forth. And I went on one company, which is a dairy company, looking for, they had some jobs up for service technicians for their machinery, working on milking machines, robotic milking machines, that sort of thing. For some reason, my browser now is convinced I want to buy a robotic milking machine, and literally every other advert is for one.
Sure.
Yeah, I reckon if I go on one of my web pages right now, I'll find an advert for it. When I go on one of the various web pages I've got up, I bet I'll find an advert for it.
Up until a couple of years ago, There you go.
There's one.
I was really hardcore about that kind of stuff, so I had, you know, stuff to block scripts and all that. But as the internet isn't built around privacy, never has been, right? And as soon as you start trying to block scripts, different trackers and all that, the internet breaks. The modern internet just falls apart. Mm. And it's so easy.
This is for Skaz's eyes, so you can verify. What I want to know, Skaz, is why is the guy so serious? Look at him.
I was going to say, mate, he looks like the guy's going to stab you down the back alley.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. No, like, the thing is, I was so hardcore about privacy and computing and all that kind of stuff, and just limiting all the crap on the internet, because it annoys me.
Yeah.
I don't have much of a tolerance for bollocks and time wasters, which is funny because we've now been rabbiting on for, what, 600 hours? An hour?
Hour and 3 minutes.
And we haven't even got to the meat of the podcast yet. Don't worry. We'll get there.
I'll be careful promising things like that, Skaz.
Yeah, well, 3 hours later. The early days of Rand Nerds.
Yeah.
The trouble was, it was so easy to piss in the pool and just completely ruin what you were doing. You know, you'd turn on or turn off, a certain set of scripts or whatever, and all of a sudden, that was it. Or you'd log on to the wrong site with the wrong browser with the wrong extensions enabled, and it was all for nothing.
Yeah.
You'd use the wrong machine on the wrong IP, and it was just all gone. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna. Real name, everything online, which is actually hilarious because it's now harder to find me through my real name than it was through my nickname. The internet's a fucking cesspool. Computing's gone completely in the bin.
Yeah. To be fair, it's not so much computing per se, it's the people who use it is the problem.
All the normies that have gone on it but once upon a time would have been told to shut the fuck up. But now they're all on the internet, so they have a voice.
Yeah.
And they managed to gather with this. There's only a handful of them, but they somehow managed to find each other, and then they start shouting louder. And then you see there's hundreds of thousands of them.
Scan's been very generous. Let's say they somehow managed to find each other. What he's basically saying is they find each other on social media because social media is designed to push these people together.
And then they end up in a nice little echo chamber. They agree to meet up in the streets. And you think, oh my God, it's going to be chaos. And there's like 15 of them.
Yeah.
It's like, how the fuck do you guys make so much noise? You've shut down entire fucking cities. You've lost tens of thousands of people their jobs. How the fuck did you little keyboard warriors pull that shit off? Get off of Twitter, motherfucker. There you go. I have an issue with the terminally online, all right? I don't mind if you're doing something. Just get off social media.
Someone said something the other day that I actually chucked it. I was both chuckling and felt very sad about.
Go on.
So...
is this going to hurt my feelings?
This is about one of your Reddit's favorite sites, Reddit.
Ugh.
So
cesspool.
It is, but cesspool I like to wallow in occasionally.
All right.
So Reddit has, I'm going to slightly butcher the timeline here because it's sort of like,
We're taking liberties with the information. Don't worry about it. Everyone else does it too.
So, but I'm actually saying I am, whereas most people would say this is true, I'm about to tell you. Now, you can edit that if you want to. You can edit that bit out if you need to. So about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, so Reddit announced that they're going to start charging for their API. So for those who don't know, an API is basically a software way to interact with a website or other than it's a software, but we're talking about websites here. And they're used for things like third-party... So like there's a third-party Steam site where you can compare two people's Steam libraries. That uses APIs to query Steam and pull information.
So what Ram is basically trying to say is that a website has information and an API is a way for another group of people to easily get that information without actually having to go through the website and find it all. They would have nicely categorized it, organized it, and then you can get access to it through the API.
The other way you can do it is through scraping, which is inefficient, slow, and is generally disliked by everybody concerned.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of these third-party Reddit apps out there that we basically, you could use, if there's an official Reddit app, if you want to use your phone, or you could use a third-party one. Third-party ones, a lot of people prefer the third-party ones. When I say a lot of people, I'll get onto that in a moment, over the main one, because we thought the main one wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Reddit then decide that we're not making any money. We're a big site, but we're not making any money. So we're going to start charging for the API. So all these third-party apps use the API.
Interrupt? I'm surprised they didn't do that already.
They didn't. Now...
weird.
Now, I don't think people would necessarily object to them charging for the API. What they objected to was how much they were charging. Some people said they're charging 5 to 6 times as much as what you'd normally expect to pay. So quite a lot. I can't...
potentially trying to push the smaller apps out then?
Basically, that's what the theory was. The site-wide theory was that Reddit didn't want people using third-party apps because third-party apps, you can't put your adverts through. You know, but the third parties would have their own advertisers. The third party apps were basically making money off Reddit without using Reddit. Although admittedly a lot of it went into development costs, they were making money off Reddit's features. So Reddit decided, no, we've had enough of this. We're going to basically charge for it. So Reddit as a whole, now if you believe what most people on Reddit say, only a handful of people use the official app. Most people use third party ones. Mm-hmm. That was all well and good until someone posted some figures, and I'm going to do this from memory. The main Reddit app had something like 100 million downloads.
Mm-hmm.
All the third-party apps combined had 500,000. So you can't... and that was that was hilarious, that post. Watch people trying to explain why that wasn't the case. It's like, all these people use all these people download the official app. Yes, of course they do. But they go to a third party one or they use the website, which isn't shown up here. It's like, you're telling me all 100 million people have chosen to use the website instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe most people don't care. So Reddit then...
I mean, that's quite a gap. But I mean, like, if the gap was considerably smaller between the third party and the official app, then I'd probably say, well, you could argue... well, maybe they don't like some of the features or the way that it's bombing them with ads, so they go to a third party. But if the gap is that wide...
it's a bit weird, isn't it? It's strange. It is strange. I mean, I think
plus the Reddit website's shit.
Yeah, the app, and the app isn't that bad. People complain about the app. It's like, I've not had any problem with the app. I use the app. It's fine.
I haven't got a Reddit account.
Yeah. I have a Reddit account. I use Reddit quite a lot. Then people were like posting on there, and some of the things people were posting on there were, and this is a bit that made me laugh, like, well, yes, you see, well, it's only the casual users use the Reddit app. Us proper hardcore Reddit users like use a third-party app. It's like, mate, what do you consider a hardcore user? And secondly, you should be embarrassed to call yourself a hardcore Reddit user. Seriously, if you're a hardcore Reddit user, go outside. To use a modern phrase, touch grass.
Yeah, mate.
You know, breathe in the air. I mean, according to my phone, I use Reddit. Zaskar's not going to like this. I use Reddit for between 3 and 4 hours a day.
A day?
On average.
Dude, I don't even use my phone that much in a day.
But it's all little bits, they all add up, you know. 5 minutes on the
RAM.
Talk.
I don't even use my whole phone much in a day.
You know, 5 minutes on the toilet here, a couple times a day.
Mate,
first in the
how
morning.
How long are you spending on the toilet, dude?
First time when you have a cup of coffee on your lunch break at work. You know, it all adds up.
Yeah, lunch break, whole hour, right. Just sat on the shitter, right. Son.
So I don't consider myself, even with that, I don't consider myself a hardcore Reddit user.
You filthy casual.
I know. So, I just want to go up and say, if you call it bloody casual people ruining it all for us, like, mate, fuck you, I'll get a life. Please, just get a life. This isn't worth it. This really isn't worth it.
It's the same issue you have with people on Twitter, the terminally online, right? And I say I hate normies being on Twitter, right? They're really hyper-emotional, fucking spazzing out over absolutely everything that they have nothing to do with because they feel like they're making a difference. You know, slacktivists, keyboard warriors, those kinds of people. Really fuck me off. Get off the internet so the rest of us can get work done. Please. Yeah. Right? Stop hogging my bandwidth, motherfucker. I can use that for something decent.
Yeah, if it wasn't for you lot, we wouldn't need fiber optic.
Yeah, pretty much.
We can make do a dial-up, to be honest.
Well, we can't because BT's taking it away soon.
Oh, yeah, true.
Bastards.
But
stop catering to the normies.
I had a real chuckle at that. I was like, I just want to say, that really gave me a chuckle when I read that.
The trouble with the power users, though, sarcastic air quotes, power users, right? They're not the people actually doing anything, though.
No. There were some people had some good points. Some people said that they were concerned that certain mods use mod tools that use third-party OS. So, for example, a lot of the automated moderator software, which will like automatically filter out crap posts and so forth, uses the API to communicate with Reddit. And a lot of people like say, well, Reddit's, there are third-party apps that have features for people with like disabilities that the official app doesn't. Yeah. And they're like, well, I can't use the official app. So they have a fair point.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing we have with VR chat and when they put in EAC, Easy Anti-Cheat, a lot of people with disabilities couldn't use VR chat anymore because, well, without the third-party clients. So there were some reasons why a third-party client was necessary. However, when they took access away, and hopefully Reddit does this too, they then start to focus on serious issues that should have been addressed years ago for a subset of users.
Well, Reddit clarified that they were not going to block, they were going to basically whitelist mod tools, so mod tools would still work. So they basically said they were going to whitelist mod tools because they appreciate the things. So Reddit then went to full protest.
Yeah, I heard that they like a lot of subreddits and that went private or something.
That's
like that,
right,
they went dark.
A surprising amount of the, like, I think some like 30.
Hang on. One second. Before you say the numbers, can I take a stab and say that a majority of them are back?
Oh, yeah. To be fair, they only planned to go on a 2-day strike anyway. That was the original plan of just 2 days.
Did it do anything?
Of course it fucking didn't.
Or did they get lip service?
It didn't get that. They just ignored it. So Reddit, they are starting to do stuff now, actually. They are starting to push back now. So at the time, the initial plan was, we're going to shut our apps down. They're going to actually get most of the big mods, a lot of the big subs. And to be fair, a good chunk of subs went down, and a lot of the big ones went down.
Did the Rand Nerd subreddit go down?
No. I'm a sellout. So the big ones went down, and they basically went down for 2 days. That was planned. They all went private. And it was interesting, actually, because also reported, a lot of people said they actually preferred it, because, like, well, actually, all these little subs now bouncing to the front page, because they wouldn't normally get, like, views, because they weren't most upvoted. Now they're bouncing to the front page. They then came back, and nothing happened. And then there was a memo leaked from the head of Reddit saying, look, they're going to go quiet for a couple of days. They'll be back in a couple of days. Let's not worry. You know, it's not going to cause any trouble.
They were right.
Well, so what happened? What happened then was some sites
kept going.
Oh yeah, some sites decided to say dark forever, and some what some of the subreddits did as protest, which is quite funny. So our picks decided their protest was from now on, you can only post pictures of John Oliver. And that's all our pictures is now, is pictures of John Oliver. It's been like that for the last month, or last 3 weeks or so. It's just every picture is a picture of John Oliver. That is actually quite funny. It's like, they can't protest officially, but they can do that. Some see themselves as not safe for work, because if you're not safe for work, most advertisers won't allow themselves to be advertised in those subreddits. Sure.
That's another one.
Yeah, so that was one way to get around it. And some basically stayed dark. After a while, the admins, so admins are doing to moderators, moderators are for each other has a moderator, the admins are the people who are actually in charge of Reddit.
Yeah.
And run Reddit. They start basically saying to some of these sites, you're not safe for work subreddit. We've seen what you post. You don't classify. You need to unchain. You're breaching your terms of rules as moderators to classify yourself such you need to change it. And if you don't change it, we will remove you.
Oh.
And some have been removed. So some subreddits have now literally... Some subreddits now have no moderators. They've literally just removed all the moderators. Some, they've gone down...
Didn't remove the actual subreddit, just the moderators?
Yes. And they started actively recruiting new ones.
Wow.
Some, they've said, similar thing, if you keep dark, if you keep private, we'll just remove you and make you go public. They are basically pushing back now on the more popular sites. So that clearly some effect's been had, because they wouldn't be pushing back quite so hard on site. And they're only going for the big ones. I think it's the D&D subreddit's had all its moderators removed now.
Wow.
Because they basically refused to change and got removed. So some stuff is going. So there is still stuff rumbling along. The initial protests had no effect, but the long-term ones must have had an effect. Otherwise, they wouldn't be acting that way.
Mm.
For them, it's actually getting...
Something similar had happened on YouTube years ago. Years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Where some of the bigger creators... And this is back in like the 50K being a big YouTuber days.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 100K being a big YouTuber kind of days. People would unlist all of their videos, or remove all, like, privatize all their videos, and, like, you know, the bigger YouTubers are doing this, so Google, YouTube weren't making any money, and then without asking creators, the channels were being relisted, like the privacy settings were all being reset,
yeah,
so they could put ads on the videos,
yeah.
I was like, well,
fundamentally, I hate to say it, but I hate to break it to people that.
We don't own the websites. They're not our websites.
To use an American phrase, you're playing their sandbox.
Yes.
That's their rules. And you can rebel by you know, unlisting all your videos and putting yourself private, but it's not yours. When you set it up, you agreed
to their terms of service.
Yeah. And
that EULA agreement is a contract.
Yeah. And if you are, it's a bit like people who post. The Reddit blackouts have as much effect as people who post at the top of their Facebook post. This is all my stuff. It's copyrighted by me. Facebook does not have permission to use this anywhere else. It's like, sorry, love.
That means nothing. Technically, you've already signed a legally binding contract. I know a lot of people won't, but they can if they want to. Like a lot of people won't go for you for agreeing to a EULA, but they can if they want.
Yeah.
You've signed that agreement. You've said you've read it.
Yeah. And so you posting something that means fuck all, Facebook can still use it.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do about it apart from not posting.
Sorry to keep interrupting you, but just as a note for anyone going, free speech, is that America's First Amendment right or whatever?
Yes.
Free speech, yeah. Whatever. Right. That does not apply to the internet. That does not apply to private companies.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, Insta, fucking YouTube does not apply. Your First Amendment right stops the government kicking down the door and lobbing you in a cell.
Yes.
Doesn't stop fucking Elon Musk from banning you from Twitter. Doesn't stop the Zuck from going, get off Facebook.
Yeah.
It's their shit. You do as they tell you.
Exactly. Exactly. That is 100% correct, which, again, a lot of people just don't understand. And also, people in the UK, free speech doesn't exist in the UK. We haven't got it, technically. We don't have it because we have laws against hate speech. And we are basically free to say what you want, but we draw the line under certain things saying you can't say that.
Yeah.
And that. But the
posts are moving on those quite regularly.
Yeah,
so.
They can move. You have to fight to keep them in the right place. And so we haven't got free. That sounds more draconian than it is, but in day to day life, it's not a problem.
Sure.
Unless you want to start saying, I want to go. Murder all this, we should all go murder XYZ group, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
But we don't finish. But as you say, America, you can say it to whatever you basically can do what the hell like, unless it's not involving a private organization.
Yeah, pretty much. So I mean, it's not there. It's like saying, oh, well, I expect privacy, so but you're on a public street.
Yeah.
So you don't get it. Sometimes you actually have to argue that with businesses. Like, well, you don't actually have any privacy. This is public, public facing.
Yeah.
Anything inside, though, from beyond those doors, you've got control.
Yeah.
Outside, no.
Yeah.
You have to be careful where the lines for your rights are very thin. Mm. Very easy to cross. and as Ram said, you can largely say whatever you want, but it's again with the same with the whole thing with the EULA. They won't necessarily come after you until they have a reason to come after you. Yeah. And if you're one of those people that likes to cross lines or say things, well, you've given them loads of ammo to do so.
Yeah.
I'm only in breach of this one EULA. Well, if you've turned out to be an asshole and they need to make you go away, they can use that against you.
And you say I'm only in breach of one EULA, doesn't matter, mate, you're in breach of it.
Exactly. Yeah, it only takes one thing and for you to be loud enough to be need to make to get disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes any sense. You know, it doesn't matter if loads and loads and loads of people do it. They just need to make one example. That's it.
Yeah.
As long as they make a big enough example of you, hopefully everyone else fucking bucks up and toes the line. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't try and be a hero on the internet.
Yeah, because it won't work. You know,
even the best hackers in the world get caught.
Yep, indeed. Indeed.
Corporate paperwork is a bitch.
Yep.
And your free speech ain't real. No. Nope. Not real.
Nope.
Don't go complaining to Reddit or who the fuck ever owns Reddit. Don't go complaining about Twitter or Facebook or, oh, my privacy. If you want your privacy, don't use it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I have to because all my mates and my family are there. Your problem.
I mean, the thing is, as you say, the important thing is that ultimately, most of the time, you're not worth dealing with.
Yeah.
So you can
most of the time.
Yes, you can post stuff moments really like on site. You're not worth dealing with. It's only if you gain traction, if you post a hateful video on a site, you're going down.
You know. And what I will say is, note.
Also, it depends if you get reported. That's the thing.
Well, these days things are being filtered through algorithms. But
yeah.
What I will say, if you are one of these people that likes to try and be an asshole online, and you say that this stuff should be policed better, Think about the poor bastards that have to clean up your mess. You might want more people out there actually, because like loads of people make jokes and that online, and then when shit happens to them, they're like, no, can't have that. And then they want more people to, you know, like if you want to defund the police, and then all of a sudden you get burgled, and you're like, well, where were the Rozzers? Well, you got to decide where you want this to go, yeah. Right? And if you're one of these people who shit posts online and then get butthurt when something happens to you, and you expect more people to be there to actually manage the content of these sites, understand the amount of crap they have to trawl through every single day and how soul-crushing that can be for just a regular-ass human being.
Yep.
The kind of stuff they have to deal with. Oh, but it's only a few harmless shit posts. A few harmless shit posts from you multiplied by however many users there are on the website, soul-crushing, mate.
And I can guarantee you that those human beings are being paid minimum wage.
Yep.
And they point and add their day, if they choose to ban you, odds are no one's going to do anything about it, because you're just going to get bounced. Unless you go away to Zuckerberg, you're not going to get sorted out, really. So if they decide to kick you off, there's really no comeback. And you're dealing with... So your fate is in the hand of someone who's earning minimum wage, who just wants to do a 9-to-5 job and get home. If they look on your site and they come across like one page they don't like look off, I'm fine, just ban it. I'm not going to go any further.
You're making other people miserable, and realistically, you're too small to matter.
Yeah. And too small to matter swings both ways.
Yeah.
It's too small to be noticed, but too small to be noticed when you're gone.
Yeah. When they cut you off, you're guilty until proven innocent. And, you know, good luck with that fight, because they've got more money and more time than you have. Even if you're in the right, chances are they're going to win. It's not even worth... a lot of times, it's not even worth fighting for.
Oh, well, I'd say more the point that it's not so much they've got more times, that they simply can't... They ain't got enough time to bother to actually re-look at your stuff again. It's easier just to ban you, and it's easier... Whereas the legal justice system works on, it's better to let some guilty people out if people doesn't go to jail. With most sites, it's better to ban a few innocent people as long as we get all the people we don't want on there.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's how they philosophy work. And if you're a small YouTube and you get banned, they're probably not going to bother looking at you again, because it's like, it's not worth the hassle.
Well, you're not making them any money, and you're just using bandwidth.
Yeah. And it's not worth the hassle of unbanning you.
But I've seen people with massive YouTube channels who, like, all of a sudden terms of service change, and something they did was fine before, but after that change in terms of service, it wasn't. And then they're like, you can't have that anymore. And then all of a sudden they're gone. Kind of like when you see royalty-free music libraries change hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, you used it. That license applied then. It doesn't apply now.
Yeah.
You got to go. And then, you know, people start disappearing. And they don't care. Big company doesn't care. That's on you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And a lot of the times, good luck even trying to get in contact with an actual human. Even if you have a legit query.
That's my point, is that you're too small to actually be worth dealing with. In the grand scheme, you do not matter. And that's true.
Nihilism.
YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, they don't really care.
Nope. But they know you need them. Well, you sarcastic approach, need them. They know you'll be back.
You're a hardcore Reddit user, so of course you need them. I can't believe someone actually would say that. I mean, how sad and lonely are you in life to actually say, well, I'm a hardcore Reddit?
Let's be fair, though, mate. There are some areas where we would consider ourselves power users.
Yes, but I wouldn't go shouting about it.
Well, no, not on a forum or whatever. But then I've let's be fair, I've done it like 50 times on this thing. Get the normies off the internet.
Yeah.
Because then we could cut all the fucking fat, reduce the amount of bandwidth that needs to be used. The internet would probably actually work.
Can we get rid of the hardcore Reddit users?
Actually, yeah, they're probably... Who do you reckon is using more bandwidth?
Well, the hardcore ones, because they must be on there, 16 hours a day?
I don't know, though, because have you seen what some of these normies look at?
Yeah, but they're looking at the next cat gif, aren't they? And those gifs eventually add up.
No, because you've got to think, like, the hardcore user probably ain't sat there watching gigs and gigs and gigs of videos.
Oh, I don't know.
But the average normie sat there scrolling through TikTok and
those
shit.
Those memes aren't going to like themselves.
I have a point. It's going to be a toss-up, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, on average, as soon as it comes down to the people who are using it the longest, so you're going to be using the most bandwidth. Because I forget, use a little bit. Every time they scroll down, a little bit of bandwidth is used to retrieve that data.
Yeah, but that's a little bit. You've got to think of what the content is, though, is it? Is it text and image-based, or is it video-based?
My opinion of this is, as a, air quotes, casual Reddit user... There's a lot of points where it's like, yeah, I've exhausted all the stuff. I'm going to get out of this site today. So they must be desperate. They're looking for their next fix. So they're going to be digging deep through lots and lots of subreddits trying to find something tasty and morsel just to get them through.
Well, what would you say is using more bandwidth, right? We're gonna scrape it, okay? 4chan, Reddit, TikTok.
Well, per logic says TikTok will be used. How many users on TikTok?
Lots. Yeah. The most casuals are uploading and viewing on TikTok.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of the casuals, we can bin off stuff like TikTok. We can get all that bandwidth back.
Yeah. I think TikTok's going to get itself banned anywhere in a lot of countries, the way it's heading.
Maybe. I don't know. I have a TikTok account. I've put a few of our YouTube shorts on there.
Yeah,
like YouTube Shorts is the primary bung them over onto TikTok. It's a shit platform. I don't understand it. Maybe it's just from too old.
My sister's now on TikTok. She's not super keen on TikTok, but she said the thing is, because she's trying to sort of build up her brand and stuff, that's where everybody is. So
it's true, though. It's true, because when I used to look for sponsorships back in the day, but like if you were talking to companies for work or to do a project, they'd ask, what's your following like on Facebook and that? And like, if you didn't have a Facebook page, not like a profile, but like a business page or a content page or whatever. If you didn't have like 50K, like this was a while ago, so like, you know, if you didn't have like 50K likes on Facebook or whatever, they wouldn't even look at you.
Yeah.
So I kind of get what your sister's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
A more modern equivalent.
See, what did she say to me the other day? Because she did a free marketing course. And she slightly drunk the Kool-Aid a bit.
Oh.
And what did she say to me the other day? Oh, yes, that was it. We were going through, we're discussing websites, and we're discussing about how she wanted on her website for to pop up and offer a subscribe, you know, put your email address in here to get a newsletter type thing. Yeah. I said, I hate this. She says, no, although the thing is that at the end of the day, they're enhancing the user's experience. It's like,
no, they're not.
I said, no. So you've been on those too much. That is not
you've been on those marketing courses too much. Go sit in the corner.
Yeah. That is not enhancing the user. That's annoying the fucking user. Well, no, it's not, because it means the user knows they can get more information off you quickly and easily. It's like, no.
I would instantly close.
No.
Me personally, as a power user, I would close that site down in a heartbeat.
Mm. In general,
or
yes.
I'd have enough things to block.
Yeah, I tend to, if the site pings up, if it's sort of like in the corner out of the way, I'll ignore it, fine. If it like takes over the entire screen, now I'm going back out of this. I'll find something else.
If it actively hijacks the page, even for a moment,
unless you are literally the only place I can get this information or get this item, I'm going elsewhere.
And given the number of people on the internet these days, unlikely.
Yeah, I hate those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Normies, get rid of them.
Sad thing is, it works.
It does.
It does. We sound like a bunch of jaded old men, but we are jaded old men, really.
Yeah, mate. I was around when the internet was fresh. It was simple. It was just text.
You had two colours, black and white. That was it.
Ah, them were the days.
That's it. You could, them were the days. And everything was in Times New Roman. That was the only font you could choose.
Mate, fucking dialing into people's computers, dialing into people's BBSs. Good fucking times. What we got now, a nightmare.
Yep.
The fact that I need 3G, right, ain't even fast enough. Couple meg down on 3G isn't solid enough to establish a connection to most websites these days. What the fuck?
Isn't that more than the fact that 3G is overloaded?
It is, yeah. But still, if, and I've had this rant before, if going through three pages uses enough bandwidth for me to pull down an MP3, you've got a fucking problem. If I click through three pages and use like 5 megs of bandwidth, get in the fucking bin. I mean, I've gone on some websites where I've gone through about maybe, what, 5 pages or whatever. Like, say you've gone on one of my mobile providers. Gone through some of the pages at one point was so loaded with scripts and fluff, right, that I could have downloaded Doom several times or downloaded an entire album in MP3, like a mid-size album in MP3. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
It's useless.
Subscribe to us newsletter. No. Do you wish to allow cookies? Just allow the fucking cookies. I don't care. I really don't care. So you know I've been on your site. I don't give a fuck. You'll give me options of which cookies to allow. I don't care. Accept all of them. Just put a virus on that. I don't give a shit.
Get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah. I just want to view this one. I just want to use this random online calculator I need access to. I don't care. I've come back to this page. You want me to ask cookies? If you were using cookies, you know I've already been here once. You would need to ask again. So why are you asking me to allow cookies?
Because they haven't coded that bit right.
No, clearly not. The irony of, do you want to allow cookies? Yes. Go back, go forward. Do you want to allow cookies? Don't you know me? Am I so forgetful that you have forgotten?
I have no memory of this place.
Yeah. So. Anyway.
I hate the internet.
Anyway.
I say that whilst I'm sat here doing an hour and 30 minute long podcast 37. That will be up in video and and audio. This is like world class anti-content.
I tell you what, I don't know who listens to our podcast, but they're in such a treat every week, aren't they?
Oh yeah, I
listen to this guy. I listen to these guys. They talk about games. Let me put the latest podcast on for you.
So
when do these guys get to the games? Oh, at some point, usually in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, basically. So what was it? Fucking, I was trying to think of what I was going to put as my tagline for some of my stuff for if I ever start posting again online, because generally I don't other than here these days. And it was that I am a producer of top tier, low quality, minimum effort anti content.
Don't put it on your business page.
Mate, I might as well. Yeah, AI is going to put me out of business soon anyway, so who gives a shit? Yeah.
Should start using the AI.
Yeah, start using the AI to do shit for me.
Yeah.
That'll cost you $1,000. 20 seconds on AI.
Look, the day AI is smart enough that it can A, deepfake both of us realistically enough, and B, It can synthesize our voices, and C, can write a semi-decent script for us.
That wouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, we can throw it all in there, and we basically have our Saturdays back.
Well, fuck, man, let's get working. There's plenty of data out there. We've been doing this for a bajillion years. My face has been on the internet for well over a decade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I can't deepfake me and my voice isn't, if they can't synth me at least.
I think the voice it could do. The voice is
the
very
chaos
easy.
Of the scripts. The chaos. Scripts, sarcastic air quotes. All they have to do is like throw in some Neptunia, some Deus Ex, Thief.
Yeah.
Monster How much Hunter. We hate online gaming. Occasionally put the British government to rights.
let's log into ChatGPT. Let's get to
No, not again. Ram, this is supposed to be a gaming podcast. I keep saying that, but it isn't. It's just a general fucking random fluff podcast, isn't it? This is anti-content.
Write a script. How should I phrase this? Write a script.
For a crap podcast.
For a crap podcast.
And then it comes up, do you mean Rad Nerds?
This is gaming, universities, and the state of the web.
Mate, I hate to say it, but we've already pretty much asked it to do something like this before, and it was pretty much bang on.
We asked it to describe what the podcast was about. We didn't ask it to actually write a script for a crap podcast, which is this game.
I mean, let's be fair.
As spoken by two out of touch old men.
White men.
Old white men.
Old white straight men.
Well, straight.
Because you got to make sure that we are
men.
Yeah, we are sufficiently. If that doesn't come across as like really racist and homophobic and sexist and all the other things, like it's got to be all of those. Did it work?
Oh yes. Oh, here it goes. Oh, it's boo. Oh my word.
Is it racist?
No, it's written it's written a script for us.
It's not white enough.
I'm tempted.
I didn't mention British. British.
Oh, he's created the script already for us.
Fine, all right.
Right.
Are you putting this in the show notes?
I'm saying this to you right now.
Mate, I am reading it.
Because it's completely got us.
It's got us nailed down, has it? And it turns out it's the entire podcast. Oh my god! And it turns out it's the entire podcast that we've just said word for word. I'm just kidding. That isn't. But oh my god! What the fuck? This is like a cheesy daytime TV show.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's Bob and Dave.
Oh, I love Bob and Dave.
So
I'm into gut, that, Bob.
Right, gut feeling. Are you Bob or you Dave?
Oh, mate, this is ridiculous.
Gut feeling, Bob, Dave.
Fuck, neither. Because fucking look how short this is. This should barely be the intro to Rad. This is the intro to Rad Nerds, an hour and 43. This is barely like 10 seconds of content. Come on, AI.
What I like is the first thing it says is cheesy sound effects.
Man, that's a bit up market for us, isn't it?
This basically sounds like two American DJs, isn't it?
Well, you know what? Yeah, well, it is. You know what it is? Like, have you ever seen like in video games when they have like TV show hosts on?
Yeah,
like the cheesy American TV show host.
Yeah,
in the background, as that. Like, imagine the producer for like Smash TV or something. Like, what's that film of Arnold Schwarzenegger and he's in a game show and they're trying to kill everyone?
Running Man.
Yeah, something like that. Something bollocks like that.
Yeah, or the original Death Race.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
nailed it.
This. Although I'm looking at this, I feel I might be Bob. Looking at this,
let's have a look. So what's Dave's
host
crew?
One?
Host one. All right. Mate, we shouldn't be doing this because it's like, okay.
Part of me is tempted to go.
We're here to deliver our unfiltered and unenlightened opinions to the ever-changing world of gaming.
Yeah. Welcome, home, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Out of Touch Oldies Crap Podcast. I'm your host, Bob, and joining is my fellow Out of Touch buddy, Dave.
I love this. We've got to do an episode of this one day. Oh, mate. That's great. Really short, but great.
Yeah, I haven't read through the whole thing. These newfound games keep us scratching our head. I mean, who needs these complicated controls? We just want to sit back and press a couple buttons and perform finger gymnastics.
Wow. I don't realise that RAM is a top-class PC gamer. But
Yeah. I know.
Right, RAM, I hate to cut the intro short.
Yeah, shall we go on?
Yeah, what have you been playing, mate?
Well, I'm hoping you've been playing something, because I've actually...
No! Is that why you've been padding for the last hour 45?
I've not been padding. This is our normal waffling.
No, actually, he is right. This is mostly me ranting, but same shit, just on a loop. Games we've been playing. All right, then, Bob, or what the fuck ever your name is.
Go ahead, Dave.
I've been playing Alan Wake.
The original?
Original.
I'm so sorry.
What's wrong?
I fucking
what the fuck's wrong with Alan Wake, motherfucker?
Fucking shit is what the fuck we're gonna wake.
Sacrilege. How dare you?
The fake
like that's it. Fucking come on, Bob, we're gone.
Fake like a little cheesy grin on the face means you don't disagree with me.
No, I like Alan Wake.
Really?
Yeah, I like the story of Alan Wake.
Oh, he's just such a pretentious knob.
Well, yeah, because you haven't played it through.
I hate him from the opening intro.
Yeah, because that's the point.
Oh, it's just...
You're not supposed to like Alan at the start.
Oh, I hated the gameplay. I fucking despised the gameplay. I hated the character. I found in Terminal, I got to having about level 3. I was like, I can't play it anymore. And I literally quit.
Level 3 is in third screen or third chapter?
The one where you go through a construction yard. Third chapter, whatever it is. Something called construction. There's a digger or something that tries to drive at you, if I remember correctly.
All right.
That's as far as I got. I was like, I hate this game. And I just quit and uninstalled it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Right. So, Alan Wake is part of the Remedy Connected universe, right? That being Max Payne, Alan Wake, technically Death Rally, Quantum Break, and Control. And Alan Wake is the bit that ties it all together. Alan Wake comes in hot off the heels of Max Payne. Remedy sold Max Payne to Rockstar, and they basically sat on it. So they didn't own the rights to the name Max Payne anymore. Remedy then moved on to Microsoft, an exclusive partnership with Microsoft, and they chucked out Alan Wake as an exclusive for Xbox 360, and then it was later ported to PC. So Alan Wake is a pretentious New York best-selling author of the Alex Casey series, and that dude is basically Max Payne. They're saying that Max Payne, the story of Max Payne, is a character written by the author Alan Wake. And ever since writing the last of the Max Payne novels, I'll just call him Max Payne because Max Payne, he suffers massive creator's block. Right? And then he goes on one of those normal kind of, you know, famous people downward spirals, drink drugs, gets into a scuffle with the old paparazzi, and him and his wife go on a holiday arranged by her to, I believe it's Bright Falls. What Alan doesn't know is that Bright Falls is the home of Dr. Hartman, who works with creatives suffering with block and breakdowns. Well, not long after he gets to bumfuck middle of nowhere Bright Falls, some weird shit starts going down. You realise that Bright Falls ain't quite as
bright,
normal as you'd think it would be, and it kind of ends up like a bit of Twilight Zone-y stuff happens. You and your wife go to the little cabin on the lake that you're supposed to be staying at, and your wife is absolutely terrified of the dark. Just as a note, absolutely terrified of the dark. And you're in this cabin. You turn on the Jenny, lights come on. You're hanging out. You have a bit of an argument. The lights go out, and you fuck off. Alan's a bit of a dick. Then he hears a scream coming from the cabin, and his wife's gone. Next thing that happens, Alan's involved in a car accident, and basically, the process is you have to basically figure out what the fuck has happened. And it turns out that Bright Falls is a place where things you create can come to life. they get kind of manipulated by a dark presence and shit starts happening. And it turns out that Alan has a specific power in that anything he writes happens. And over the course of a week, he writes a book, so he doesn't have his block anymore. But the ancient evil of the lake warps what is written and starts fucking with the people of the town. And it's up to you to get through it and all that. So the game has a day-night cycle. During the day, everything's normal. At night, all hell starts breaking loose. Townspeople start getting possessed. And the only way you can fight them is through shining a flashlight on them, which has limited battery power. So you can just shine it on them normally, uses no power. Or you can boost it, turn the brightness up, and that will take away part of their shield. Once you take away an enemy's shield with the flashlight, then you can kill him. If you don't have any batteries in your flashlight, you're basically fucked. Sponsored by Energizer. You can also use other tools to break down people's shields that produce light. Flares, flashbangs, flare guns, work lights, you know, your standard big boy beefy work lights, floodlights, stuff like that. And then if enemies go through them, or you can point them direct, like direct them through them, you can dissolve their shields, and then you can kill them with pistols, shotguns, hunting rifles, that kind of thing. Alan is designed to be as little like Max Payne as possible. So Max is a fucking monster. He's fast. He's agile. He can take a hit. Alan can't do any of that. Alan's fucking slow. He's fucking out of shape. He takes a couple of hits. He's dead. So they try. What Remedy have tried to do is move away from the gameplay of Max Payne. I think they do quite well. The game is incredibly linear, though. But then, as is Max Payne, so as you progress through the story, you walk into a zone, and then say maybe 10 guys will come at you from different locations each time you go into there. So if you die, you'll respawn in, and they might come from slightly different locations. Once you do that, it's kind of like an arena shooter. You know, you go into an area, you shoot the guys, you run to the next area, do a little thing, solve a puzzle, next area, bad guys come out, progress the story. Unlike Ram, I really like the way they put it together. Alan's not a particularly likable character, but the gameplay is pretty solid. It can get pretty hectic. And if you're one of the people that likes to collect the manuscript, so Alan's novel, parts of the book that he's written get scattered around the level. If you pick those up, you can read them, and it kind of gives you a heads up as to what's going to happen next, because Alan's written it all to happen. I'd like all of that, and the way that it's the way that Alan Wake ties the rest of the Remedy universe together is pretty neat. I think the gameplay's fine. I don't quite get what your beef is with it.
I found the gameplay very clunky, personally. It just irritates me.
You barely even have to aim.
I despise every moment I spent with it.
Right.
I
know I just cut myself off and stopped explaining what I was going on about. But so what are your beefs? What is it you actually don't like?
Everything.
That doesn't help.
Well, I don't. I couldn't give a shit about Alan from the start. Right. I don't care to find out and help him through his writer block. I don't give a fuck. His wife annoyed me. The enemies annoy me. The gameplay is clunky as shit. The levels are frankly very uninspiring. They just feel like they feel very cookie cucker and not particularly interesting. Everything about it I absolutely despised. And I was recording a Let's Play on it. I literally stopped it, uninstalled the game, deleted all the video files.
Hated it.
I absolutely despised it. If I could delete it from my Steam library, I would.
You can remove, well, you can hide it.
Yeah, but I want to delete it. I want it gone. I hate it that much. I remember going, I went to our friend Middlemeister. I said, of course, play Alan Wake the other day. And he went, oh, really? Unlucky you. I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah, see, you and Middlemeister have no taste. That's the point.
I think Alan Wake...
As has been established, world's greatest game, played through the first section of it.
I think...
Good job, guys.
I think Alan Wake is a, I think, from what I've seen, I think it's a Marmite game. Either you like it or you fucking hate it.
Mm-hmm. No, and I can understand that.
I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I can understand that. That just means that you, I mean, you wouldn't be a fan of any of Remedy's other games then either.
I like Max Payne. I enjoyed Max Payne.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because Max Payne is, gunplay and that is
far more, far more interesting than Alan Wake's gameplay. At least you actually kill, and you can dive in slow motion. That's fun.
Is it?
Yes.
I never used it.
Well,
I didn't need to.
But it's fun. You don't necessarily need to, but it's fun to do it.
It's more useful in Alan Wake. Yeah, Alan Wake in Max Payne 2.
Well, yeah, that's good. I played Max Payne 1 and 2 back to back. Enjoyed them both thoroughly. But Alan Wake, no. No.
Sad. Like I said, it's just because they tie. It ties Alan Wake ties all of the other Remedy games together.
Yeah. Oh, I've
and
heard.
I like how Remedy does that.
Yeah. Because I think they're remaking Alan Wake.
No, they've already remade Alan Wake 1, but that's an Epic exclusive because they're now part of Remedy is now part of Epic. Mm. So every game that Remedy releases since leaving Microsoft is exclusive to the Epic Store for a year. So Alan Wake Remastered is already on Epic, and then Alan Wake 2 is coming out. But I don't know quite where Alan Wake 2 sits because we had American Nightmare, which follows directly on from Alan Wake 1 anyway. But I'd like to know how they tie the rest of the stuff.
Okay, because I thought that doesn't American Nightmare sort of like tie the story up like completely?
No. No.
So isn't, because from what I've read, doesn't Alan Wake have the before American Nightmare have quite a bad ending?
Yeah. It's not great. I mean, it's not particularly great as you go through American Nightmare either.
No, but doesn't it sort of like make it a little bit happier? I said a little bit happier, not like not daisies and roses are daisies, but
yeah, I suppose. No, it's like, hey, your family died in a house fire. That's fine. You're still all right.
Oh well,
that kind of happy boost.
Oh, you know.
There's always a silver lining. There's always something good if you're looking for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think is the default ending that he gets like trapped like forever in the demon world or something.
So at the end of Alan Wake, it's an ancient game if you haven't played Alan Wake 1. Yes, Alan Wake gets trapped in the void.
Yeah.
He stays in, his wife comes back out, and that's partly how Alan ties the rest of the Remedy universe together. So if you go through American Nightmare, in Alan Wake 1, there's a band called the Old Gods of Asgard. Do you remember the two old boys in the cafe at the start?
Yeah.
Right. Well, those are the guys that are the band that Remedy uses for a lot of their stuff. So do you remember the song at the end of Max Payne 2?
Yes.
Well, Cults of the Fall? They're the Old Gods of Asgard.
Oh, right.
They're the Old Gods. So they're all tied in. When American Nightmare hits, there is a song where the lyrics go something to the effect of, it will happen again in a small town, a town called Ordinary. But it's played backwards, like, you know, when everyone's like, oh, you're channeling the devil, you have to play it backwards to hear the message kind of thing. That happens in that song. Well, Ordinary is where Control starts. So they've used Alan Wake as a way to tie all of the fucking crazy that happens in the Remedy Connected Universe. Mm. In Quantum Break, Alan is still just an author of the Max Payne series.
Yeah.
Control, Alan is still stuck in the other dimension, but is able to communicate with the main character, Jesse Faden.
Unlucky her.
But I also like the way that, because in the other thing that I like about Max Payne, Remedy, and it's probably one of the same things that I like about, well, it is one of the same things I like about Kevin Smith stuff. Kevin Smith uses the same actors or voice actors for a lot of his stuff. Right? And he'll bring back characters. Remedy do the same kind of thing. So you had in Max Payne, you had Sam Lake as Max Payne. He's the creative lead of Remedy. They had Sam as the character model and then James McCaffrey as the voice. Well, in Max Payne 2, they had another guy as Max Payne, but still James McCaffrey's voice. And then Max Payne 3 was James McCaffrey and James McCaffrey. In Alan Wake, one of the other characters is also James McCaffrey. And they reference Max Payne. They have Sam Lake is in it as well. In Control, the lassie who plays Jesse Faden is also in Quantum Break. Sam Lake is in Quantum Break. I don't know if James McCaffrey's in Quantum Break. And then obviously it all comes together with, as I say, Alan Wake and Control. James McCaffrey's still in it. The dude who plays Alan Wake is in Control. James McCaffrey's in Control. And so on. I like the Remedy Connected universe.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I played the original Alan Wake. My mate Divine played through the remaster. They're pretty solid. And it looks gorgeous when you turn all the fucking settings up.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I won't lie and say that fucking Alan controls well. He controls like a fucking fridge on wheels. But that's the point.
Yeah, fucking hated it.
And I still say you and Middle Meister have fucking no taste when it comes to
games. Oh, I've got
loads
of taste. I've got fantastic taste.
Oh, you funny.
Yeah.
You funny. Anyway, now we know why Middle Meister's not on the podcast.
Yeah. Fuck it. Anyway, so have you played, above than that, have you played any actually good games or just...
Oh, yeah, I played that great game. It was fantastic.
Which one was that? Because I think you should mention it. If you're going to talk about playing a good game, you should mention it.
Yeah, what can I say? Alan Wake, fucking game of the year every year, just because Ram don't like it.
Fucking shit, yeah. Game
mate, he's a Reddit user, so Ram doesn't have an opinion anymore.
I'm a casual fucking Reddit user, I'll have you know.
4 hours a day.
Fucking, fuck, I'm a fucking casual, I'll have you know.
I'm a fucking casual, that's nothing to be proud of. That's almost as bad as being a power user.
Faxy.
Filthy fucking casual.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Oh well. Well, I hope you enjoyed yours for our 15 minutes of game chat after and our hour.
I can't believe you didn't play anything, Ram. Normally, you've played some shit from Humble Bundle.
It's been a busy couple of weeks.
We decided what we're doing for game night because. Zaber's not going to be about, and we failed at Demio. Spoiler.
Oh, yeah. That was. I mean, we are actively getting worse.
That was abysmal.
The first one we had the boss. You know, we got about halfway down, did pretty well. Second time we nearly killed him. Third time we nearly got wiped on level 2, but then we got killed by the boss. Fourth time, we didn't even make it to the boss. We are actively... another couple of weeks, we're not going to actually get into the... We're going to actually die on the outside bit.
I thought we almost failed on floor one. Last session, I really thought we were struggling on floor one.
I didn't think we were going to make it. I was literally... It's just they just keep coming.
They do. It's...
They just literally do not stop moving. And they're just like, literally like, oh, well, okay, we're going to have 20, you know, of those really tough enemies. Oh, thank you. Good. Oh, good. Yay.
Good times, eh?
Yeah. That last module's too reliant on the random number generator.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If you don't get good cards early on, or by the midway point, just give up. I can't think of a... You'd have to be incredibly lucky to dodge all of that.
Yeah. Unless it is literally, as we said, that it's only certain group of characters can actually get through it.
Yeah.
And if you play the wrong type of characters, you just won't get through it.
I wonder how well that would stack if we had a team of four.
Well, sure, maybe better, but then at the same time, everything gets up, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, health scales up. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, I'm just wondering, because it would be easier for us to try different combos if we had that fourth player.
Maybe. My suggestion, I mean, I don't know if we should be talking about this on podcast there. We can always, why not?
Don't die?
Don't die. That was our plan. No, we tried the don't die.
Are we going for what game are we going to play?
Yes, what game are we going to play? Should we discuss the podcast? Should we end the podcast and sort
it's
out?
Up to you, mate. What do you think?
Well, let's end the podcast. We discuss ideas then, can't we? So, it'll be a surprise those who join us on Wednesday. So, so thank you for watching. I've been the Suffolk Ram.
Gracias.
And we hope you've enjoyed this podcast this week. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time on the 29th. Sorry, it's gone midnight, so my timing's all messed up. On the 29th of September. And you can join us, and we'll be discussing more games and hopefully some good games. And look forward to seeing you then. You can check us out our games night on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/TheSuffolkRam.
And I'll be twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
And you can join us here on YouTube in a couple of weeks' time, youtube.com/RadNerds or twitch.tv/RadNerds. And check our website, radnerds.co.uk. So until then, see you later.
Take it easy, guys.